The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live.
Truly is a great Thursday. Thanks for being with us. Al McCoy. Want to have Al on following what took place last night and what he sees the Hall of Fame voice, Al McCoy, in a couple of moments as the Suns are heading to the NBA Finals. I shouldn't be speechless, but I am speechless because it finally has happened after years of turmoil and agony. They got it all figured out and they got over the hump. And yeah, I felt like the Clippers may have had a shot last night. They had no shot in about the middle of the third quarter. Tie game, and then it was just put the pedal down. I'll use a Todd Grahamism. Left lane hammer down. It was over. And the emotion that I saw to Monty Williams afterwards with Chris Paul, I didn't get choked up. It's not one of those deals. But it's just like, I feel so good for Monty Williams, for what he's gone through as a man and losing his wife and having to raise kids and still chase his dream of being an NBA coach and coming to Phoenix and saying, yeah, I don't really want to go to the Lakers. I think I like that most of anything. And so now it's Atlanta or Milwaukee, and we have some time to wait. The early schedule that I've seen is Thursday, next Thursday being game one. Now, that could change. That could change, but we'll have Al McCoy here in a couple of minutes. And then I had the team on last night, most of the team, and they were chopping it up. And I thought it was pretty fun, so we're going to bring back some of that and talk about everything around the Suns. And there's other stuff going on I just don't care today. I mean, I see things that are interesting with name, image, and likeness. I see things that are interesting. The Coyotes are hiring their coach today. If you're a Coyote fan, wrong show for you today. Sorry. The Suns are the story. That's it. We're brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. That is Desert Financial Credit Union. I think Vegas got hammered last night. They had the Suns by one. They had the total at, I think it was 219. Way over that last night. It was blowout city. And there you go. Chris Paul put together a performance that, if you're talking about big game performances in the history of the Suns, Chris Paul's, and we're not going to go through context today and go through the list. We're going to have plenty of time here in this. It's going to be a short offseason. They're going to play in the finals. The draft will be 2 weeks later in August, and they're planning on starting in October. And today is July 1st. Like, we're less than 6 months till Christmas. So this is great. It's 110 degrees, and we're almost through summer, and we have a finals basketball team. I love that. I love that. So last night, I thought long and hard about going to L.A., and it's, what am I going to get out of going to L.A.? I'm going to be inside the Staples Center. We're not going to have access to these guys that we can't get through Zoom. And I'm really not going to get much out of it. I'm going to go with them on the finals. That's already done. But last night I just sat here in my man cave and made notes, watched the celebration afterwards, saw some really good TV, saw some really good interviewing going on, didn't see a lot of nonsense. The nonsense out of Patrick Beverley at the end, when he pushed Chris Paul, was, you know, that was frustration. He deserved to be thrown out. That was probably his last game as a Clipper. Patrick Beverley played really well at times in this series for LA, and you hate him because he's on the other team, but now he's in the rearview mirror. There's no one like that with Atlanta. There's no one like that with Milwaukee that I can see. PJ Tucker's close. But in terms of a guard trying to disrupt Chris Paul, and the way Chris Paul went about his 41, it was like a surgeon last night. It's just, you know, he had some shots, the four-point play. And yeah, there were times where he was doing the gamesmanship just like the Clippers were. The DeMarcus Cousins elbow to the head, it's a two-way street. When Jay Crowder grabs a player's leg running by him, it's game six. I put on social, I love this. I want to see bodies on the floor. I don't need to see blood. But anybody who wants every last bit called, no. No. They're trying to get to the finals. So you're not going to clamp down and suddenly officiate this thing in a way that it's a regular season game in January on a Monday night. That's not the case. They play at a much higher level when we get to this time of year. And this team's so embraceable, I think. Like, I don't look at a player and say, boy, when he comes on the floor, man, are they in trouble. And there's some of that. Some of you were in the Dario bandwagon, jumping off and breaking your ankles, and last night he played well. Some of you at times get into the rotation that Monty puts out on the floor. They didn't have Cam Johnson last night. I thought that might hurt him. It didn't. You know, Jay Crowder stepped into some shots last night and hit some threes. And when the Clippers were settling for DeMarcus Cousins jacking up threes, it's like, behind the Suns, like, please, please, please go ahead and launch one. Go knock yourself out. You're 6'11". You're a paint chipper. You're a glass breaker. More often than not, it's not going to go in. So, and one thing on the broadcast. So if you don't like Mike Breen and Jeff Van Gundy and Mark Jackson, guess what? You lose, because they're going to do the finals. And it's going to be the way that the fans were going after them in their pregame shows and all that. It was it's a different deal than TNT. It is. And if you feel like that, well, they just want the L.A. team to win because they want the L.A. market, did it feel like that at times? Yeah, but it also felt at times like they really wanted to see Monty Williams and Chris Paul get over the top. Balance. I don't sit there one way or the other. I thought they tried to do a balanced broadcast at times. Mike Breen is there to sell the NBA. That's his job. It doesn't matter how bad the game is. Like, the Suns were up 15 with like 2 minutes to go, things are starting to look bleak. No, it's over. They're not looking bleak. It's over. I know you want the ratings points for Scott and the post-game show. I get it. But it's done. So the Chick Hearnism, the Al McCoyism, this one's in the old deep freeze. Yeah, if you use that with 5 minutes to go in this day and age, it's, oh my gosh, they're telling people to turn their TVs off. I was kind of amused by that. Like, you're trying to hold an audience, and this game's over. Just tell them it's over. If they can't figure it out, they can't figure it out. But that's why I'm here and he's there, and I'm fine with that. I'm really fine with that. All right, Al McCoy is next, the Hall of Famer. That is on the other side. I'm Brad Sussmat. All right, as promised, Al McCoy on a short night. What are your emotions this morning about going back to the finals for a third time, Al?
Well, I think the main thing is I'm just so proud of this team as to what they have accomplished at this point. And they certainly realize that they have another step to take getting through the NBA finals and winning an NBA championship. But what this team has accomplished, the togetherness on this ball club has just been sensational to watch, and to be a part of it as far as describing their action on the court has certainly been something special for me.
What about around town, Al? What are you seeing? What are you sensing that's different than 76 or 93? I know it's a different town now, but what are you seeing differently?
Well, you know, it isn't that much different. It's a lot of similar things because, you know, I've always said no matter what, even though we have all of the major sports teams, the Suns are still the Valley's ball club. And although the fans have been waiting for about 10 years to really have something to cheer about again, they still have been backing the Suns. And now to see everything around the city, around the Valley, all the resurgence of the fans, it's just like they haven't gone away. They've been around. But now they really have something to cheer about, and they've certainly been a big part of it. The crowds at the playoff games at the Suns Arena have just been sensational, as we all know, and they really feel like they're a part of this team, and they really are.
Hall of Famer Al McCoy, a couple other questions, I'll let you go. Monty Williams, when you see him, Al, his humbleness, his faith, what he went through personally in losing his wife in a tragic accident and to where he is now. I know in COVID you haven't been that close to him, but from a distance, what have you seen in this man?
Well, he is a terrific individual as a person, as a father, and certainly as a coach. And I have said over the course of this season many times that going into this year, I always felt that Cotton Fitzsimmons was the best coach at handling players. Of course, that was a different time with different players. Right now, Monty Williams certainly would fill that spot because he's just the right guy to handle both these young players and the veteran players. He has a tremendous feel for dealing with individuals and with individual situations. And I think in this Western Conference final series, although we heard a great deal about Tyronn Lue and the outstanding coaching job he did for the Clippers, and he did, I still think Monty Williams gets the coaches' awards for the changes and the things that he did to get the Suns victorious in this Western Conference Championship Series. So Monty Williams, a tremendous individual as a person, and he certainly has shown this year his tremendous capabilities as a coach. The ideal coach for this Suns team, no question about it.
Last question, Milwaukee or Atlanta? I know it doesn't really matter. You got to play somebody, but what's your gut tell you? What do you see out of those two teams?
Well, I think Atlanta right now is the most explosive. They have the ability to score the basketball in a lot of different ways, and they're a great three-point shooting team. They've done an outstanding job under their coach, Nate McMillan. Milwaukee has been a little disappointing to me with the way they've approached these games, and now some injuries are involved. Whether Giannis will be able to continue to play, whether that's for Milwaukee, and young guard for Atlanta. I think no matter what team plays, we're going to see some good basketball. We're not going to see a team like the Clippers who want to commit fouls and grab and push and do all those things that aren't basketball. I don't think we'll see that in the NBA Finals. No matter whether the Suns play Milwaukee or Atlanta, I think we'll see some good NBA basketball, and that's encouraging.
Al, thanks for the time this morning. Appreciate it. Enjoy the ride. Thanks.
My pleasure.
There's the Hall of Famer, Al McCoy, and we're back with more after this timeout. It is. The Suns have won 130 to 103. It is. Thanks for jumping in. So I just felt like let's open it up the stream, and there's the congratulatory hugs between Ty Lue and Monty Williams. Those two have a great deal of respect for one another. And I know that people are going to go right down to stuff with Patrick Beverley and all that. But I'm going to start with the basketball end of things. The easy stuff is to talk about announcers. It's always easy to talk about announcers and referees rather than, do you know they're going to the NBA Finals for the first time since 1993? Like the airport tonight will be crazy. The airport tonight will be a sight. And I was not here in 93 for the Bulls finals. I came 5 months later. But hosting the Suns shows and the pre and the post and all that stuff through the years, I know the magnitude of what this franchise is all about when they're relevant. And after 10 years of not being relevant and to see them come all the way to the NBA Finals, it's a real testament tonight. You know, there's probably some of you that are being emotional, that you can't believe it. This is your first time ever being in this space before, and it's great, and you should be. It's a very embraceable group of players. I'm watching them on the floor put on their shirts, and you know, to see Chris Paul and Reggie Jackson embrace, it's good stuff because Reggie Jackson played hard. You know, those guys played hard on the Clippers, and you can get all you want, and people will go into Patrick Beverley. He will go down in Suns lore, and we talked about this before the series even started, that he is one of the most hated people out there in the league, and if he's on your team, you love him. If he's not on your team, you hate him. And for Chris Paul to go out and get 41 points and to see a guy like Jay Crowder who came to Phoenix and surprised a lot of people when he came here, to see a guy like you know, Chris Paul giving out hugs right now as the game has ended to family and friends and people of all sorts. I'm just watching the chaos on the floor right now. It's a good feeling. It's a good feeling to see a kid like DeAndre Ayton. All DeAndre Ayton did when DeAndre Ayton was in this space and being drafted for Luka Doncic and Jordan's jumped on in, it's going to be free flowing. This is just going to be everybody. When Ayton was taken, Jordy, and then Luka goes to Dallas and starts playing well, and DeAndre just got crushed. I think for me, that's somebody that I'm watching him right now. And yeah, he's grown up, and it was fun in this series to see him do his thing. What struck you about tonight?
Certainly DeAndre, Chris Paul coming in as advertised when the Suns made that trade for him. How often did we hear in the fourth quarter, he's going to be great. He's going to supply that leadership when things go awry. And Chris Paul did that. You know, he got Patrick Beverley to crack enough to push him well after a play. And there wasn't a brawl. There wasn't anything. Nobody lost their head. And I think that started with Chris Paul and Devin Booker, certainly. You went back to draft night when DeAndre Ayton was taken. And we talked about what he could do in his career. Doncic obviously got off to a great start. And, you know, there are still probably going to be some people that he could put up 50, 20 and do the halftime show and it's not going to be enough. But he has certainly grown up. And I think back to draft night and envisioning what he could do in his NBA career and how far off is it from what he's doing right now in the postseason, what he's been able to achieve. So he really has hit new heights, and this could be the new norm for him, with Devin Booker and Chris Paul moving forward.
Yeah. Spurge is with us too. So, and I don't know who else is going to jump in here, but I think Eric and Claudia and Devin and so Spurge, you did not grow up here. Jordy, growing up here, so 93 for you, were you around?
I was two.
You're two. So yeah. You've never experienced something like this.
No. I mean, the closest thing to it is the Diamondbacks
right.
Series. And that's, I was
10. You know, the Cardinals in the Super Bowl, the fact that they made a Super Bowl, that would have been in your like junior high days, right?
Yeah, I think I was just starting, or I was in like my freshman year of high school. So yeah, it has certainly been a minute. I mean, the last meaningful playoff game I covered as a reporter was the Diamondbacks in the wild card game, and then they got swept in the NLDS. So yeah, it's been a pretty good streak of having summers off and that sort of thing. But yeah, I mean, this is and just the way. How quickly it went from round one, where it was CP3's shoulder and he doesn't seem right. And it's okay, this might be the LeBron and AD show. And then they get over that hump and take care of business with the Nuggets and now take care of business with the Clippers. And, you know, it's been cool to see, the city certainly come alive with what's been going on.
Yeah. The airport tonight will be something. They're showing Billy Crystal. Billy Crystal was an owner of the Diamondbacks till 10 years ago. From what I was told earlier tonight. Hmm. And I knew that he was an owner of the Diamondbacks. I knew he had an ownership piece. Spurge, what jumped out at you tonight? Jordan Spurgeon's jumped in there. By the way, you're kind of this way. If you want to turn it this way, go for it. If you don't worry about it. But
yeah, we'll try it. Of course, it got so crazy that my Wi-Fi shut off at home and the waters. That's fun.
Yeah.
So we are watching it. Is that better?
Yeah, you're great. You're great. What jumped
there
out?
There we go. All I know is the Suns are now – 4 wins away from Jay Crowder salsa dancing with the entire valley, the entire city of Phoenix. Chris Paul doing what he does was something that you can't help but be happy for him. I don't always root for players, but everything that Chris Paul's been through, and we see the injuries across the entire league right now, the fact that he's able to do what he's doing right now is something that I think anyone could get behind at this point.
Yeah, you go to the airport tonight?
I will. I live right there, so I might as well. I want to see what's going on at the airport.
And last
it should
time,
be a good time.
I'm accusing you of COVID spreading, but yeah, you're going to go. You're going to do that. I would say it's like, what is it, 8:55, guys? I'd say 11 o'clock, 11:15. Probably depending on how
late. Probably closer to midnight.
You know, if I'm Monty Williams, we don't play, guys, for a week from tomorrow is game one. So let's just divert and go to Vegas tonight, go back to Phoenix. All right. So I looked at the game tonight and I liked all the stuff that was going on. It's game 6. Mm-hmm. You can either be eliminated or you can go home. And I know that people on social were just losing their mind saying, this is dirty and this is dirty. And I'm just like, you know what? I want to see next to blood. Next to blood. I don't want to see blood, but if you think that this is just going to be roll out in the park and, oh, a little touch foul here. And no, That's why you get into this spot. You're trying to get to the finals. There's a lot of bank involved, okay? Obviously, I don't approve what Patrick Beverley did at the end when he shoved Chris Paul. That was a cheap, dirty play. But the front of the series, it was Patrick Beverley is going to be an adjutant. That's who he is.
Right. He is a heel.
He's that guy. And so I'm not going to sit here in Phoenix and say, well, he's a jerk. He's Danny Ainge, except he's on the Clippers. You know, he's one of those guys that you just look at and say, if he's on, like, Clipper fans love him, probably.
Yeah.
Probably love him. And he probably played his last game as a Clipper tonight. Probably played his last game as a Clipper. But I don't know where you guys come down on tonight's game. Like, I had no problem with it being out of control. I just kind of liked it. It's like, okay, guys, are you gonna reel this game back in after you've let it go that far? And they tried the best they could. But, like, DeMarcus Cousins' elbow to Chris Paul, that, to me, was a bogus call. I'm not going to sit here because I'm in Phoenix and say that was a cheap shot. He was trying to get the ball and get over his head. Okay, that was a flop. That's a flop. Call it as we see it. You guys are nodding your heads. I don't know if you approve or not, but what'd you make out of the game, guys?
Yeah, I agree with you. I think, you know, Pat Bev is a heel. He is going to get under people's skin. That is the reason he is in the NBA and on a good NBA team. That is his role, to just constantly agitate, get under the skin, get uncomfortable. And the Suns didn't let it happen. Then, as you saw the game go, he got more and more desperate. And that's where he went. Yeah, I think really the only thing that where he went over the line was the Chris Paul shove. Even the hard foul on Ayton, I didn't think that was a flagrant. I thought that it was, just a really hard foul. Yeah. And, you know, he was trying to make up for some lost time. And in my eyes, DeAndre Ayton is built like a mutant, and he's trying not to let a shot get up where it's an and one situation. So he's going to put a hard foul on him. Yeah. So with most of what Pat Bev did tonight, I don't have an issue with, with Chris Paul, give him the Oscar, you know, and he even saw himself, you know, laughing immediately afterwards. Like, yeah, throw him out. So, he knew he kind of got away with one, but that's what the savvy vets do. You give your team a break. So they go and they review it. You also get a foul on one of their better players, and you just keep the momentum going in your way. You constantly keep them off kilter here.
Yeah. No, Eric.
And that's the most shocking part. The Clippers are the veteran team coming in. They're the ones making those mistakes. The Suns look like the old veteran team. They look like the Lakers from last year, making all the smart plays, not letting the other team get in their head. That's the difference in this game, and that's why they won by nearly 30. Chris Paul gives them that experience. I feel like everybody aged about 5 years this year just from Chris Paul being in the building and on the floor with them. Devin Booker, like he said, is like a 45-year-old man in a 24-year-old body. He's probably always been kind of like that, but even more so with Chris Paul being there this year. And so to outdo a team that is savvy like that is something that you have to give the Suns credit for, because the Clippers are a savvy team that know how to get under your skin, and they just didn't let them.
Yeah, Eric's jumped on in here, Eric Sorensen. Hey, Robert Sarver's on ESPN, like, talking. And I don't know if you guys noticed this. Eric, jump on in here at any point, but – so Robert came out before it was in the Denver series. And he gave James Jones the General Manager of the Year award. Robert Sarver was cheered. Now, I've come to Suns games since Robert took over, and I have nothing against Robert. Robert and I have had our ups and our downs, like anybody in town. Anybody who's been like, this is great. No. Yeah, this is great now. And he's a pro about it. But Robert was cheered. And so, like, Eric, do you think all is forgiven? Like, this is now Robert was able to get them here. And how are you feeling tonight? Because you are a Suns fan. You are a lifelong Suns fan. So first of all, how are you feeling tonight?
Okay, so you can each make fun of me. I went back to old superstitions tonight, and I only watched the game for like 3 minutes at a time.
Oh my God.
And then I would write a little bit, and then I would clean the house a little bit, and then I would turn the game back on a little bit, and then I would turn the game off for a little while, and then I would go walk the dogs for 15 minutes. And I did that the entire night, because in the Nuggets and Lakers series, I did that same strategy, and they were like 4-0 in those games. So now they're 5-0. So
that's awesome. Did you cry?
I didn't really cry. It's just, it's like, I'm shocked. And I don't think
I had Espo on the other day. I said, are you going to cry? He says, I might.
I don't think Brad, all is forgiven with Robert Sarver, but if they win four more games, all will be forgiven. They're not there yet.
Yeah. I think that's fair. What'd you make out of the refs tonight? I don't really care, but
full disclosure, I did not see a lot of the game. Yeah. I saw the shove, but I'm going to watch everything back now. And again, I just had a hunch if I watched. I was at the game Monday night, and I can't remember being so disappointed. So I decided to completely flip the script and just not watch any of it tonight. So.
Well, I don't want to give it away that they won the game. So if you want to watch it back.
Yeah, well, I got that part. Again, I watched it. I had little sample-sized bites of the game tonight.
So Spurge, you'll like this. Spurge is going to the airport. Spurge says he's going to go to the airport for the welcome home thing. You know that's going to be a circus. We remember those back in the day. I kind of think if they just divert the flight to Vegas, it might be better because they have a lot of time to go. But I don't know if that'll happen.
I'm not sure that's a good idea. They already have one player in COVID protocol, so let's just get on the plane and everyone go to their own house and not do anything. So
they need to go to Santa Fe and get one of those nature retreats and get some massages and get some mani-pedis and be good for a week.
Are they going to go to?
That's right up Chris Paul's alley.
Yeah. Exactly.
All right. No, seriously, they're going to have all this time off because the finals, the schedule that I had, game one will be in Phoenix a week from tomorrow. So they're going to have 8 days off.
Great.
Yeah. No, I think great. So. I think so. If you're a Suns fan, you have to be thrilled with that amount of time. Devin could go get the surgery on his nose and have it fixed by then. And so I think we're going to see something with this group. And again, nothing against Spurge or Jordy, but Eric, you were there. I wasn't here in 93 when downtown Phoenix had hundreds of thousands of fans.
Okay? 300,000, Brad, after they lost the series. But times were different then. The Suns were the only show in town. Now the sports fans are kind of spread out, but you're seeing the painted cars with Go Suns, and you're starting to see some of those iconic images. I remember I was a senior in high school, and I remember I painted the back of my mom's Chevy Astro van in orange and blue saying Go Suns, because that was the cool thing to do in the early 90s. Yeah. You know, there was no social media. There were no, that's what we did. So
what I remember back then was people painted their houses purple and orange. We put those people on the air. Mm-hmm. They had the purple and orange toilet paper. They had the purple and orange bathroom linens. They had the purple and orange sheets. And I thought, you people are nuts. And they just turned their whole lives into purple and orange, which people just didn't get. When I tell people there's no other team here that even comes close, that doesn't even come close in this town than the Suns. They're like, oh, no, you don't understand the NFL. No, the NFL does not rule all. Not in this town. And it's fine. It's great. I'm not going to badmouth it. But back then, Eric, what was it? It was the Suns and Arizona State. And the Cardinals were here by then.
Yeah. Yeah, but you hit the nail on the head, Brad. You said it's a Suns town. Because when the Suns got here, Phoenix was a town. It was not a city.
Right. No, it's still the biggest little city in America.
And the Suns are also the only team locally that doesn't have Arizona before their name. And there's a reason for that. So,
yeah. Jordy, when you look at the team, who's your favorite guy? You have a favorite player? I love Jay Crowder from the moment that he came on board, because I'm like, that guy's a badass. They need a grit guy. They need somebody that's uncomfortable. So who's your guy?
Growing up, I always thought that Sean Marion didn't get the love he deserved, and he did so many things that didn't fill up the box score. And the closest player to that is Mikal Bridges. So Bridges is a guy that I always just feel like flies under the radar and usually will guard, if not the best player on the other side, one of the best. And, you know, he looks like a mutant when he has his arms at full length. I tweeted out, I'm sure kids hated playing Red Rover with him growing up because it was just clothesline central. But he's a guy that just reminds me of Sean Marion, so it makes me a little nostalgic. I don't know if there's a guy that I love on this current team. I always try to stay a little bit of an arm's length, but he's a guy that I really enjoy watching.
What about you, Spurge?
Rest in peace to cash considerations, because Torrey Craig was the biggest deal for cash considerations in the NBA in recent memory. Tonight, he made Paul George look uncomfortable from opening tip, from the time he got in off the bench to the time the game was over. Torrey Craig, especially with Cam Johnson being out, was that guy. And he's been that since he was traded to the Suns. He's been that guy, whether he's playing 5 minutes a game or whether he's playing 25 minutes a game. He's come in, he's played great defense. He hits shots occasionally when he has to. Tonight, didn't do anything on offense, but still his impact was felt all over the court and rebounding and guarding Paul George. And so those are the kind of guys you win championship with. Those guys, 7-8 on the bench, you might DMP them one night, the next night you might ask them to play 25 minutes and they have no problem with it. And Torrey Craig is really the epitome of that for the Suns team right now.
What about you, Eric? I mean, now they're going to the finals.
I don't really know if I have a favorite. I think I'm happiest for DeAndre Ayton because he has taken that next step and he's 22 years old and he does so many, like, you know, he's going to be compared to Trey and Luka forever and that's fine. And if you watch a Suns game, he does so many things that never show up in box scores. He's great on the high screen and roll. He alters shots at the rim. He gets those long rebounds. He keeps balls alive, maybe not grabbing the offensive board, but doing back taps and things like that. And it, just from, you know, I'm no Suns insider, but just from everything that I've heard, he's so likable and he works real hard and he's open to criticism. And I'm just happy for him because he shut up a lot of people the last couple of months.
Yeah, I think I'm happiest for Monty Williams because a man that loses his wife in a car accident and then decides to go underwater for a bit and has a family to take care of and is trying to raise kids and stick with his course of being in the NBA. And as much as Suns fans, a lot of them don't like Greg Popovich. Greg Popovich was right there for him. Doc Rivers was right there for him. Nate McMillan was right there for him. And when you go through Monty's story and you see him tonight celebrating and potentially, you know, it's to me, it's pretty obvious the Suns are going to be favored if Giannis can't play. So let's just go down that path.
I think they should be favored even if he does play. I just don't see.
I agree.
With the Nets and Philly out, I will be extremely disappointed if the Suns don't win the title at this point. Extremely disappointed.
Well, and I don't even know if it is going to be Milwaukee. You know, if Giannis is out already for tomorrow night.
Yep.
So if it's Trae Young on his own trying to beat this team, they're not going to win.
Good luck.
That's not a fair fight. And I think, look, I think Middleton's a really good player. Really, really good player. So it's not just the Giannis show. But I feel like for Monty, for him to be in this space, and yeah, the Chris Paul redemption tour, because that's really what this is. It's Chris Paul and his redemption tour. He had 41 tonight. Chris Paul scored or assisted on 59 points in the second half tonight.
That's insane.
Second half. You know, you look at that and you just say, okay, I feel good for a guy that's never been there before. But if you don't know Monty Williams' story, and there's people who are watching us tonight that for the first time are hearing Monty's story, because it really hasn't been told, in my opinion, that much since he's been here. The day of his opening press conference, opening remarks, I was sitting with Jude LaCava in the front row, and both of us were like, do we ask? Nope, we don't ask. This is not the right day to ask. We're not going to do that. And he wanted to, you know, to get to know him. Because at some point, and I know there's national guys that are already working on that story. I think it's Michael Wilbon is writing a book with Chris Paul. So that book's going to come out. And Mike, we've tried to get Mike on the show, and his publicist has said when he's done with the book and all that stuff, you'll get him. Fine. But Monty, to be in a position of being in the NBA championship, for what that man has been through, you know, players, it's one thing. Just going through life as a dad and losing your soulmate in a car accident, I mean, that to me, and that gets me choked up when I just think about it. So that's
so many sub stories with this team. So many.
Yeah, no, like Robert, you know, you're of the opinion that if they win the finals, then Robert is forgiven. And I probably agree with you on that, because the arena, you go into the arena now, he's transformed the arena. That arena was showing its wear and tear. You know, and I feel good for Jerry, too. I saw Jerry Colangelo at two of the playoff games, and we chicken winged each other up in the suite. He's walking by with his wife, and yeah, it was his baby, and yeah, he sold it for $420 million, and yeah, now it's worth $2 billion, and the team's done nothing until the last couple of years, and that's got to be hard on that man. On the other side, this was his baby. So to see his baby now make it to the NBA Finals with a very good chance of winning, it's got to feel good.
And I mean, I don't love everything that they did with the arena, but I love most.
Another show conversation for another day.
Sure.
Okay, so let's get into this now. Milwaukee and Atlanta, and then we'll wrap it up. And Spurge, if you've got you've got time, so stick with us if you want. If you don't, and Jordy and Eric, if you guys got to run, but if we go into whether it's Atlanta or Milwaukee, we've gone through it a little bit just off there. The Suns would be home next Thursday. They'd be home next Saturday. I'm going to go to Milwaukee or Atlanta. I'm going to go. And if we have to stand outside and be that dopey group what stands outside of a building, fine. But what team do you think is going to come out of the East? I'm of the opinion it's going to be Atlanta if Giannis can't play.
It really depends on which superstar can play. If Trae Young can play, I think Atlanta has the huge swing. If Milwaukee and Giannis can get back, then I think it's probably them. But, you know, regardless, it seems to have the making already for a long series. Like, this isn't going to be figured out really quickly.
Milwaukee, Atlanta.
Yeah. You know, what the Western Conference is already wrapped up. They're about to play game five, I think. Wow. But you also saw Trae Young didn't play last game, and the Hawks spanked the Bucks. So I think that this is going to be a drawn out thing. I think if you're the Suns, this might not be the popular opinion, but I would rather go up against Milwaukee because if you can have a somewhat comparable game out of DeAndre Ayton, he kind of cancels out Giannis. And then all of a sudden you have all the other guys kind of pouring it on. Trae Young to me is the one guy that I feel like can really just take over a game and maybe steal a game or two. Things can get then crazy. And then, you know, you don't know what's going to happen in game six, game seven. I don't know if that is a very popular opinion, but I just look at Trae Young and he's the closest thing to Steph Curry that the Suns are going to see, and a guy that can just completely transform a game like Paul George did last game.
What about you, Spurs?
Well, here's the thing, too. Yesterday, Atlanta was up by double digits before Giannis went down. A lot of people seem to be forgetting that just listening to different talk shows today. Atlanta was still up by double digits when Giannis went down, and yeah, they might have been making a little bit of a run, and you know, 12 points in the third quarter in the NBA is really nothing at this point, but Atlanta's a team that can definitely steal a couple of games. Milwaukee doesn't have that difference maker. We've seen a little bit out of it with Chris Middleton this year being the closer, more so than in previous postseasons. But I don't think that would be enough against the Suns. So I agree, Jordy. I think the Bucks are the better matchup for the Suns. Like, I think that's actually a quick series, which is something I never would have thought I would be saying even 3-4 months ago. But I don't think the Bucks have what it takes to close out games against the Suns. And the Suns team has seemed to find a way to learn how to close out games recently. They've figured that out. I know they gave up, you know, a couple of tough games here to the Clippers, but that was just kind of a lack of effort thing. I don't think we see that against the Bucks because the Bucks have those similar issues. And I think the Suns are a little bit more advanced at it. So either way it goes, I think the Bucks win that series against the Hawks, whether Giannis plays or doesn't play. I still think they're the better team than the Hawks, but the Hawks are a little bit scarier because especially if Trae Young's healthy, he can take over just any game at any given time.
And in the regular season, the Suns beat the Bucks by a combined 2 points, and then the Suns and the Hawks split. And the Hawks at the end of the year, it might have been that the Suns had already clinched and they weren't going full. I didn't dig too deep into it, but they hung like a 30-point win on them. So Both teams have played the Suns hard, but I look at Trae Young. So like you said, Spurge, if he's healthy, then that's a guy that could go nuclear on a couple of games and really swing things.
Who do you want to see?
The Bucks are good enough to win a game 7 in New Jersey, but they're also lackluster enough to lay an egg like they did last night. So I would rather see Atlanta just because they have less stars. They have a nice supporting cast. Trae Young is unbelievable. They have great wings. But I just think if the Hawks are playing their best basketball and the Bucks are playing their best basketball, the Suns would have a better chance of being the Hawks than they would the Bucks.
See, Capella, if Capella's right after he took the shot, so Clint Capella can do some things, in my opinion. And Clint Capella against DeAndre Ayton, I would like to see that. I think Trae Young could be the villain, which we like. Got to have villains in the NBA Finals. If it's just a bunch of nice guys, you're going to have ABC, ESPN go drive fans even crazier.
But he is a nice guy. He's not a villain. Oh. Trae Young is like, he's way too likable. You can't say Patrick Beverly, and you can't say
say
PJ Tucker with Trae Young. I mean, like Trae, yeah, but he does that, and then he smiles, and like no one hates Trae Young.
Trey's got a swagger. He's not a villain.
If you play against him, you're going to have fans aren't going to like it.
Yeah. I don't know.
You can't boo Giannis. You can boo PJ Tucker. But you can't boo Giannis. Giannis is too nice a guy. Like, I would love to see Giannis on the floor go after DeAndre Ayton and Jay Crowder try to take him down. To me, that is the sexier matchup. I do want a matchup that is compelling. Okay, and these two teams give me every reason to believe if their star guy can't go for Milwaukee, that's not a compelling matchup. Fans are not going to watch. There's already going to be that this will be the lowest rated because we don't have a New York team, we don't have a Boston team, we don't have an LA team in the finals. Look, read my lips. It's going to happen. That narrative is going to get pushed out. It's
already been pushed out and disproven and still pushed out.
Yeah, I mean,
but the Suns have national intrigue because of Chris Paul and Devin Booker. I get it. We're not like the biggest of markets, but it's not like the Philadelphia 76ers with Allen Iverson, Eric Snow, Derek McKee, and a bunch of other guys back in 2002. I mean,
Rajah Bell.
I believe you're right, Rajah Bell. Or you know, let's just like tap the brakes on this, like. I think the TV numbers going to be great? Of course, they're not going to be great, but I think there will be intrigue because you're going to have fresh blood in the NBA Finals, and people want to see new teams. It's like the BCS Championship or the whatever they're calling it now in college football. Like we're all sick of seeing the same teams, right?
Yeah, yeah. No, I agree with that. But look, of those two teams that's left standing, neither one is as compelling as the Suns. Let's just be honest about it. It's Chris Paul, and it's a big man. Big men sell, especially if they can play. The big man here can sell. Number one overall pick, DeAndre Ayton, and Chris Paul, and Devin Booker on the Olympic team. Watch tomorrow night against Atlanta. Watch tomorrow night against Milwaukee.
Yeah, but at least if it's Atlanta, then you have the DeAndre Trae Young discussion because they were the same draft.
At least
you have that storyline going. And Bogdanovich, wasn't he a part of the Suns and then got traded?
He was.
Was that Marcus Chris trade, I believe? But
we could go get those former Suns that amounted to nothing and find all sorts of cool trades.
Yeah.
I guess for me, neither one of these teams has got me that excited. I was hoping as playoffs progress, obviously it'd be Brooklyn because it'd be Steve Nash and it'd be D'Antoni and it'd be Amari and it would be, you just go right down the list of all those guys and Durant and all that. So, you know, I was disappointed that happened. Oh, the Suns, Scott Van Pelt's got them in the locker room spraying champagne.
But I mean, I'm not disappointed. Like the biggest thing for me is the Suns are in the NBA Finals, and the path is more wide open than ever for the Brooklyn Championship. Like I don't really care who they're playing. It's not important. Like now, it's you know, you and I, Brad, we've argued all the time about magic number. Suns' magic number is 14. And I always told you, shut up. I don't care. I don't want to hear it. Four. Now it's four. Now we can start talking about magic numbers.
Four. That's great. All right. Well, I just wanted to get you guys together to wrap tonight because this is a historic night. Sit here and pretend that I've been supportive of this team because I haven't until they turned it around. They were just so bad for so long and they didn't care. And they finally started caring a couple of years ago. And anybody who's going to say, well, I've been on the bandwagon, good for you. Knock yourself out. I'm just not about watching bad basketball year after year. And I am about what they've done here the last 2 years. So I have every right to say, yay, go team. So there you go. Got anything else before you guys get out of here?
Just you think back to the start of the bubble last year and maybe this could be a good team building experience for them. And then they go 8-0 and barely meet, miss the postseason. And, you know, you can just see these kind of key markers of, you know, a failed trade that brought them Kelly or a confused trade on which guy's going to go where, and Kelly Oubre comes. And then that's one of the guys that goes for Chris Paul. You can start weaving these webs of like,
and people lost their mind over the Kelly Oubre being gone.
Right, right. But there are so many now little things that you can look at where it's like all these were building blocks to get them there, and nobody knew at the time. But now this team is in the finals, so that's I'm looking forward to digging into that over the next week while the Suns aren't playing, and you know the Eastern Conference is figuring itself out.
Spurge, we want you to dive into Devin Booker's car if it's one of those convertibles that he has.
His dog. Havoc will be in the passenger seat again, I'm assuming. Book will be in the back, icing his nose, I'm sure. But I think we do need to dive in there. I think last time there was a reporter doing the TMZ thing, banging on the windows, see if we can try that today or not. But
I wouldn't try that with that dog. I wouldn't.
No, I think the dog would get me.
That beast dog.
Yeah, if you can ask for a lock of Jay Crowder's hair, knock yourself out, because you're going to get knocked out if you do that.
Yeah.
Go have fun down there tonight. Be safe. Guys, thanks for jumping in. And we will let all of you go and celebrate as well. Thanks for being with us.